The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts, Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals, Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pot, get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Oh, welcome to One Shots, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you to Pick Me, a Trophy Dark Incursion. This special holiday arc features our GM, Tom McGee. Players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, along with special guests Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. What happens when the Dumb Dumbs become toys competing to be a child's favorite on Christmas? Nobody knows, because it's One Shot! Pick Me Edition.
I hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. It is a dark and terrifying night to be on a sleigh ride with the three of you. Given that you've decided to murder your opponents if you need to. So you've been told that the sleigh will depart from the Candy Cane Concourse in an hour. An hour in toy time is a lot of time because similar to how space works differently for you, time does as well. Also, it's a mystical wonderland. So you're going to be able to accomplish a bunch of stuff in this hour. The real question is what you want to get up to. So basically, the options I would say are that are available to you, to consider. I'm also very happy to entertain whatever the three of you would like to get up to. There are other toys standing around again in that kind of awkward, excited, buzzing, we're going on an adventure kind of way. So you can learn more about them. There are a number of temptations that we will get to in a moment. But before we get to any of those, I would like to ask, is there anything that's really like a burning desire for any of the three of you that you think your character would definitely want to try and accomplish in this time?
I feel like Morky would be quietly concerned that there might be a legitimate mouse of a certain variety included. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if that were true, then that mouse gotta go.
Okay. So then I think it would make sense that Morky is specifically trying to find the non-knockoff version of himself to knock off.
Yes.
Okay. So Ryan, we'll say that you and your coterie are on investigate the other toys duty.
Perfect.
Does that sound fair? Cool. Tyler and Laura, is there anything the two of you think you would be doing before I start introducing temptations and we can see which of these your character succumbs to? Because they all will, because trophy.
Yeah, I think there's just a concern of like other more like happier dolls being in the bunch. So it would just be like kind of the vigilance, because I think they might take me out.
Okay, so similar to Morky then being concerned.
It's very similar, yeah.
And Tafti, what would be your prime concern out of the gate?
Well, I definitely want to like size up the competition and see who else we have here. But I would also like to see if 2020 Barbie has like an extra mask or anything like that, just to help me kind of keep clean, if anything she could spare.
She always has an extra mask for this very purpose.
Perfect. Hashtag 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Laura, can you roll a ruin roll for me, please?
Oh, no.
Only in that there does, I think, need to be... Well, actually, sorry, not a ruin roll. You can roll just a standard D6 for this. If it goes badly, it might add to ruin.
Okay, so rolling normal?
Yeah.
Ah! What's this roll for, Tom? Maybe we could offer some devil's bargains.
Sure. Basically, by entering into this triumvirate, you have all essentially decided to forego entirely selfish concerns in the interest of mutual safety. In the same way that in every zombie apocalypse scenario, this leads to like, oh, you really think your husband's still alive out there? It means that, Barbie, you have to risk a little bit to share this. This is going to cost you. You have extra masks, but entering into this bargain feels a bit different. So, yes, if you want to offer devil's bargains, it should be around the idea of you have limited resources and you're giving some of those up. What does that do to you?
Oh, okay. So,
because I mean, honestly, 2020 Barbie, 2020 is going to be a long fucking year. How many of these masks, like, you might run out. So if anyone wants to offer devil's bargain, the one I would actually offer, I think, Laura, is I'll give you the extra dice, but Tafti has to promise you something in the future that you can decide now, or you can just say you'll owe me a debt. So weirdly, this is actually a Tafti devil's bargain. How badly do you want this mask?
Not too badly yet, because I'm still in my packaging, which is I haven't like described yet or anything like that. But I think it's like almost like a Ziploc bag, like just a plastic baggie that's like he's loose in, and then it's sealed at the top with like a folded over like cardboard thing that has like his branding on it.
Okay,
so he can kind of move freely in like his bag.
So you're bubble boying it.
Yeah, very much bubble boying it. But it's also I think for him it's a gesture of like camaraderie of like, hey, you don't want to get like dirty or infected or anything like that. Like I don't either. And that's, I think it's Tafti trying to bond with one of these folks.
Okay. So in that case, Laura, I'm actually going to take this dice roll away and just give you a gift instead, because it's Christmas and Hanukkah. I'll give you a hold moving forward.
Okay.
Traditionally in holds don't exist in trophy, but traditionally in a Powered by the Apocalypse system, there are other things you can spend to just guarantee a win. In our case, we'll treat a hold as an additional light dice that you can add to your pool. So it's not like you get an instant win, but your odds go up without having to take anything bad because you're giving something of yourself, but also kind of bonding with another toy. And again, I mean, Hunger Games rules, right? Like you're going to have to kill PETA eventually, but you guys can be pals for a bit. and maybe fall in love. Cool.
All right.
Tyler, you'd have to open your bag to get the mask. I think that might be the devil's bargain on your end. Would you risk damaging your packaging to get the mask?
He doesn't have one of those little like circular cutout, tiny little
air holes. Not a cat burglar.
Could I use one of my rituals or features to circumnavigate my packaging?
I mean, probably. I don't know what those are. So tell me what you got, bud.
My ruin is 4, like it's high because I picked a bunch of features and they're all like stretchy and like taffy based. So I've got worm, stretcho, and nerf. Worm is to navigate difficult spaces. Stretcho is to distort my body and nerf is to bounce harmlessly. So I would like to try and worm like a super long hand, or I guess maybe even stretcho and worm together, a hand out of my packaging to like take the mask and.
Okay. Yeah, I buy that. Ultimately, cool. I was mostly looking for like how you can interact with the world outside your bag. And I love the idea of, again, just finding those gaps where like it's been stapled across the top, not fully sealed. So yeah, you can worm out. That's awesome. So describe what your arm looks like as you do this.
I mean, there's like, I'm taffy. There's no bones. So it's just like a awful looking like snaky hand thing, just wriggling and writhing up out of the package. And like just like nastily like coming towards your packaging. the hand like 6 inches away from my body is like waving expectantly for the mask. Do you come out of your packaging to give it to me?
I think I'd be like I'm imagining I'm in one of those like molded plastic kind of inserts in like a cardboard box with like a clear front. So I'm thinking I can like, I have like space above me to kind of like reach up and like pull myself out of the molding. And then to kind of like, basically kind of like, grab like the side of the box, kind of like punch up until I can get the little top that kind of like
I can help with that
up
from the outside too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pull
and
tabs.
Then I can pass you the mask.
And I just like over the top my of the hand box back in up and
I don't know how Barbies are packaged. I assume that's how they're packaged.
That's pretty well lit, I think.
Yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah. And I accept the mask and basically reel my hand back in.
All right. So you sneak it back in. You have the mask now, which feels good. You and 2020 Barbie seem like buds now. That's nice. What do you say to her as you pull it in?
Just say, thank you kindly, miss. That's just what I needed. It's the, 1913? It's the cat's pajamas. That's right. Probably not right.
2020 Barbie, that's how do you feel about one of your compatriots wearing a mask despite being in a plastic bag, which is also nice. That's good. He can't cough on you.
I feel better. I feel safer. I also pull out my phone and like translate cat's pajamas.
Okay, you hit the plastic phone a bunch and just stare at its plastic molded cover and go, oh.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, fantastic. So with all this in mind, before we get to your temptations, Ryan, given that they're kind of tied up with this, you're going to be on investigation duty of who the other people are. 2020 Barbie has mentioned her fears that there might be another Barbie in the crew. So you're keeping an eye out for that, but in a lesser way. And also up to you to determine whether or not you want to inform her there is another Barbie. I'll also say, based on the fact that a lot of these toys are wrapped, some of them are like peeking out of their packaging, but you might be able to ascertain who's here without necessarily the other people knowing what you've discovered. But I am going to need a roll for this, sir. So you get, you can get a standard D6 for the skills or the features that you currently have. What feature would you be using to try and determine what the competition is?
I feel like it'd be a combination of bounce so he could get around and snuggling to get up close to things to try to look into the packages where they're peeking.
Okay. What is your cover story for hugging all of these packages?
I think he's just going because he's good at snuggling, bouncing animals. He's very cuddly. I think he's just playing the like, oh, like, it's so nice to make so many friends on our way to our new child's house.
Mickey. <Yep.
laughs> No, that's coming from over his shoulder, but it's
yeah, no, I like that. That makes perfect sense to me. Okay, great. So go ahead. One light dice. I am going to add a ruin dice to this, Ryan, only in that I think succumbing to the, again, kind of like getting wrapped up in it. In this case, getting wrapped up in the idea of like, you're doing this facetiously, but it's also kind of in your nature and you might just succumb to legitimately being in, like, excited to go places with people. So you're fighting that instinct. You don't want to just be like, oh, I'm sure they'll pick me. It's like, I have a fucking job to do. So add a ruin dice as well, please. Or a risk dice. In terms of a devil's bargain, if you want, you can risk one of your expendable sidekicks to do some of the dirty work for you.
Nah, it's too early. He needs like some aces in the hole. This is just starting out.
It's the most like straw man devil's bargain I've ever offered. Here's a thing you obviously won't take.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not Alan.
I got a 4 on the risk die.
Okay. What did you get on your light die?
A 1. That's why I told you the higher die.
Okay. Well, I was just checking. Okay. So you'll gain 1 point of ruin. Also, I should point out you can reduce your ruin by acting against the party. Now, the interesting thing about pick me is we're ultimately trying to appease the child. So acting against the party would likely be actively sabotaging them so the child wouldn't want them, which is more in your interest than a normal trophy game would be, but is no less damning. So,
oh, and according to the rules, we can only start reducing our ruin once we get to 5.
5.
So yes. You got to be in a bad place first. And then you can reduce it anytime you want. You can go back down to 2, bounce to 3, reduce again. Like the moment you start betraying, yeah, it's endless.
Yes, basically it's just like handing a knife to the players being like, kill them.
And but then we have to roll to get caught, which is hilarious.
Yep. It's all on your hands. I got nothing. I got no dice. Okay, amazing. So, and Ryan, you rolled a 4?
Yeah. So my ruin, so that's complication, but it was on the ruin die. So I'm now ruin 4. What's complicated, Tom?
Okay. So you meet the rest of the toys. You succeed, which is great. You meet Go-Go Hedgehog, who just wants to go fast. You meet Tip-Top Tip-Toe, the bendable burglar. You meet Cinnamon Firehawk, first of her name. And here's where things start to get a bit messy. You peek into the corner of a 2-pack. And the smiling, vacant, generic white guy face that smiles back at you is 2021 Ken. Now, he's in a 2-pack. You can't see if there's a Barbie in there, but there might be. In 2021, Ken looks great. He's smiling. He's bronzed. You know, he's still got no genitals, but that's more his problem than yours. But unlike 2020 Barbies,
I snuggled so close to find that out.
Yeah, unlike the very exhausting box, he looks like happy. He's wearing like an open shirt. He's got like a BTS t-shirt on underneath, like he's living his best life. He seems super popular. So you can infer that 2021 Barbie's probably dope as hell. The complication is that you do find a Mickey Mouse, but his eyes are closed. He's wearing a black hood and a long black leather robe, and his hands are crossed over a sword made of a key. And you realize that he's a Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory Keyblade Mickey. So there is a Mickey Mouse, but unfortunately you didn't get, oh boy, you got like, I'm the king. You got like weird Squenix Sephiroth Mickey Mouse. So he does exist. He seems to just be meditating on his blade, but he's armed to the teeth. How do
Martial
you succeed?
Martial prowess Mickey, yeah.
I mean, you've seen all this, but for what is Morky's vision of the win here? Admittedly, just the information might be enough, but I'm curious to hear how you feel this is a win for you.
Well, he knows things now, which is good. And he's got something on the Barbie. Taft seems a little bit soft.
Here's the question, Minky. Should we try to take out strong Mickey now, or should we settle for later?
Mickey.
It's not terribly helpful. Gorvy, do you have anything for me? Oh, wow. No wonder I made that alliance. Minky, do you think you could break Mickey?
Minky.
I'm going to take that as a yes. Do it and bring me that sword.
So Morky will send Minky to try to break Mickey and bring him back Mickey's Morky sword.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So, Ryan, I think then we can safely say that Morky's temptation in this sequence will be murder a toy now in the open, like murder and rob a toy in broad daylight.
Yes.
Okay, great. Good temptation. Okay. Tafty and 2020 Barbie. 2020 Barbie, you're trying to get the lay of the land, but also because you have to stay 6 feet away from everyone at all times, you're having a difficult time picking up details here. So eventually you kind of find yourself at loose ends. You begin to wander. It seems like Morky might have this on lockdown. So you decide to take a walk. Why do you think 2020 Barbie would take a walk?
I think because even despite this alliance, she sees Morky as her competitor at the same time.
Gotcha.
Because he still like can be like this lovable, squishy, mm-hmm. pleasant thing. And so I think it's more like she wants to keep an eye on him to make sure that he's not going to sabotage anything like that's going to hurt her.
So I think we can say then that you take the walk when it looks like he's done, like he's looked around a bit. And then basically when he, like what we, the audience know is that he's instructed Minky to go fight Keyblade Mickey. But to you, it looks like he's done. He's just like dusting his Ryan, what off color gloves does Morky wear?
I think it's like the same color as like yellowed teeth.
That's what I was thinking too. Great. Are they dish gloves or are they like the little butler gloves?
I think they're like the little butler gloves, but he actually has five fingers on both hands.
Oh, well, oof. You couldn't fail more at making a Mickey toy. Great. Okay. So 2020 Barbie, after determining that you think maybe, just maybe, you're okay for now, you take a walk. And you know, it's 2020. Who doesn't love a walk in 2020?
Yeah.
The only way to stay
sane. It's
just
a ritual now.
Yeah. Also, you get the sense in the blister pack that you're likely going to be in that box for a while. So like good chance to stretch your legs. And if there's one thing I know about Barbies, it's mostly leg. So you go take your weird little like horrifying straight leg steps.
Your tiptoe, yeah.
And in the distance, you can see a giant striding across the landscape. A massive figure with a long twisting white beard. Massive red cloaked frame, a Santa hat that is like alarmingly long and pointed. It's not kind of like jolly and full. It's at sharp angles in a way that is inherently unsettling. Like Edward Gorey drew it.
Like Super Saiyan 3 Santa?
Yeah. Yeah. Super Santa 3. You see the man in red striding. Now, of course, for us of the human size, not a giant, just a dude, but to a Barbie, a massive kaiju of Christmas cheer, stalking across the landscape. How close do you think you would get? Would you want to hear what he's muttering? He seems to be muttering something as he puffs on his pipe.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us and our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
Yeah, because 2020 Barbie has a lot of anxiety and she wants to be in control as much as possible. So she wants to know what's going on.
Okay, so what skill would you use to get close? Or to try and listen, what feature does 2020 Barbie have that would be useful for this?
Oh God, nothing.
Now here's the thing, Laura. I should point out, you can still do things you don't have skills for. It's just all ruin.
It's all ruin. Okay.
So I think we'll just call this, if you don't have a feature that would do it, like Taft's weird stretchy arm. Mm-hmm. This is just a pure risk dice. So a single dark die. Unless any of the players want to offer a devil's bargain. I'm pretty content with just this risk dice. Because that benefits me pretty well. But Tyler or Ryan, do you have devil's bargain for Laura? Keeping in mind that it should always come at a cost. And the cost should be something lasting and meaningful.
Yeah. You're trying to get close?
She's trying to listen in on what the man in red is saying. Drawn by that ineffable sense of, like, if you have... essentially a religious figure, the god of your existence is nearby and muttering. You can get the inside dirt, the inside track on what.
So I'm kind of trying to like prop myself up above things so I don't get everything muffled. Is what I'm thinking.
A devil's bargain I would propose is that you actually like Toy Story it, where you like dash across the floor and then you go full toy mode and just drop in the hopes that Santa picks you up and continues his conversation. And the risk is Santa might place you somewhere that you don't want to be when he's done.
No, fuck, that's, man, too risky.
I like that a lot.
No, that's terrifying. No.
Okay, you can say no. You can always say no to a devil's bargain.
No, Tyler. Okay, all
right. Y'all yell at me.
That's really good. That's
Tyler's
good.
Giving you proper Pixar adventures. Okay, Laura, then go ahead and roll your single dice as
a risk.
I think
Barbie, she considers it, but... No, that's too scary.
It's very good, Tyler. I like it a lot.
That is very good.
Thank you.
Sorry, don't be confused by my yelling no at you. Like,
oh wait, Ryan
didn't
got
choose
one
it, but it was very good.
I've got another one.
It was a good devil's bargain.
It was really. I did like that. Because I had like a serious, like visceral reaction.
Honestly,
to that.
A good devil's bargain should make you have that reaction and go, but maybe, but no, but maybe. Like every time you get spam email that's like, you won the lottery, and you're like, I didn't. But what if I did? Ryan, what's your devil's bargain?
The other one I've got, Laura, you can use your weeps a lot and you can start crying because tiptoe, the bendable burglar is nearby. And if he hears you crying, he might come over and help you, but then you will owe him a favor he can call in on later.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's good because then I can get close to another toy and learn their weakness.
And see, here's the fun of devil's bargain. Sometimes it's like, I shoot myself. No, Tom shoots me later. Yes.
Yeah, love much. It.
All right. So Tip Top Tiptoe with his trademark bandana and sneaking suit comes over and says, hey, sorry to keep you waiting. I noticed you're trying to get over there and talk to the man in red. Do you need some help?
Yes, I do. She's a horrible crier.
Help. All right, hang on. And then Tip Top Tiptoe drops down, puts his hand to his ear, and has a 20-minute call for some exposition and weird pop culture references. And then he gets up. He's like, okay, let's go. Tiptoe, the bendable burglar, rushes out and then freezes very, very firmly in front of Santa. And the man in red boots him. And he bends in half in a way that looks broken. And you just see the man in red say, oh, shit. Well, this simply won't do. And he snaps his fingers and you hear a scream. And being pulled through the air as though by an invisible hook, you see an elf arc through the air and just crash and tumble before the man in red's feet. And he just looks down and says, fix this pain, elf. We must deliver the toys by dawn. And Rory the Pain Elf, who is now in tremendous pain himself, goes about fixing Tip Top Tiptoe, the bendable burglar, who, of course, is bendable. But Barbie, this gives you the chance to, as Tyler put it, Toy Story your way up close enough to Santa to hear what he's muttering as he stalks away. It's a full-on like West Wing walk and talk, except instead of just like signing a document, he, you know, pulled someone with magical energy by their spine to come de-bend a bendy toy. So you begin to follow him and you just hear him muttering to himself, and he seems to have a long scroll that's dragging through the snow alongside him. And he's just muttering like, Ryan, sorry.
I was going to say, does she need to roll with a devil's bargain or does it work? Like, how does that?
Oh, you do still need to roll. You're correct. So that's you still need the risk roll and you need, and you get one light die. So if the light die is higher, then you could just ignore the risk dice altogether. But if the risk dice is higher, thank you, Ryan.
Okay, so I get, basically I'm rolling two. No,
2d6, one that's a danger dice and one that's a regular dice.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the danger dice is a 6 and the other one was a 3. So
messy successy.
So I get one ruin, right?
Or no? Yes, you do. And you scurry up behind the man in red, and he just says, you hear him muttering to himself. New system. Laura, explain how you get close to him, and then I'll tell you how it goes wrong.
I think this is like Barbie using her like ridiculously long legs. So she's gonna if you ever watch like high jumpers and they do those like really long, like almost like really long prancing.
Oh yeah, steps. I know, it's insane.
and so she has like fuzzy socks on, but it's still like the awkward pointed toe. So it's like, it's basically like a dash, not directly behind him, because I think she's afraid that like he's gonna know that she's been like misbehaving and doing wrong if he like turns around and she has to freeze there. So it's like kind of coming up from the side. She's just gonna like dash and basically clatter like to the ground, like freeze and fall like just beside him when he stops.
Right. You hear him muttering, so many powerful toys to deliver, so many needful children, so much naughtiness in this year 2020. I've not seen this amount of power since
the wars. It will be a night to remember.
And then you see him pause and his shoulders slump slightly and he just says,
but what will I come home to? It all seems to be falling apart, isn't it?
And he reaches into a pouch and he pulls out a skull, an elongated skull, similar to a horse, but with a faded brownish red nose. And he just looks down and he says,
old friend, what has it all led to if we have nothing to come home to? Who needs someone like you, a true friend, to guide me home when day by day she becomes frostier than this hellscape in which we live?
And then just kisses the forehead of the reindeer skull and puts it back in his bag. But as he looks down, based on your role, Laura, he sees 2020 Barbie. And reaching down with a massive clawing hand, he picks you up and holds you up against the sky, against the drifts of snow, the purplish blue sky with the twinkling of the Aurora Borealis. In this climate, at this time, in his kitchen, and he looks at you, and unfortunately, Laura, because you rolled ruin, you lose something. And with one massive finger, he flicks your mask away and just says, Barbie, the unattainably silly vision of men from years ago. Perhaps she could learn something from you. And then he throws you into the sky. Tafty, you are in your bag. You've got a mask. That's cool. You notice a drift of a slightly different colored snow blow across the landscape in front of you. In the same way that if you've watched packed snow with a light dusting on top blow across, it's like that light dusting. And as you look at it, you realize it's not snow, it's sugar. And it forms an arrow pointing towards the edge of the concourse. If you think about an airport, how there's always like the runways and then there's just kind of like random outdoor shit around it, it's that part of the concourse. As you look at it, the arrow blows away and then another one blows in. And as you follow the direction of the arrow, you see just barely in the darkness the shimmer of wings and a floating figure who seems to be beckoning to you.
What does this floating figure look like?
They seem to be in essentially like the Che Guevara special. So like a long green kind of military style coat, shimmering wings, a tiny silver chain, almost a circlet around their head. They look like Emily Blunt, and they're just kind of beckoning to you.
Do I recognize this person?
I mean, you came into existence like 20 minutes ago, so no, definitely not.
But I have all the knowledge and powers of William Howard Taft.
I agree. He has not met this person.
Okay.
William Howard Taft has not met Emily Blunt.
Yeah, he hasn't watched Devil Wears Prada or Edge of Tomorrow, so he's just completely in the dark.
Okay, so it is Emily Blunt then. Okay,
it's probably been another movie, but not in my books.
I will approach Emily Blunt, Hollywood superstar.
Tyler, what does Taft walking in this bag look like?
What you would imagine, just kind of like pushing against the plastic until he's got enough like negative space in front of him to like take a step and then just that again. It's not like an inflatable like hamster ball, so it's not like an easy going. It's like grasping at the loose plastic. It's
kind of like a kimono shuffle?
A little bit, yeah, except there's more hands involved as well.
And imagine crunchy plastic as you go.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It's like you're somersaulting inside a garbage bag towards your target.
Yeah, and it's lopsided because then the less pliable cardboard like whips over and like hits the ground, and slowly I walk over and then it whips over again as I
get like a real clay fighter vibe from all this that I really appreciate. So you make your way over, and the Emily Blunt-esque figure reaches out and puts a crumply hand on your shoulder, crimping the bag. And almost inside your head, you can see her lips moving, but you hear it kind of inside your candy core brain. You just hear, "Brother of Sugar, you have come to answer our prayers. Join my sister Sugar Plum Fairies and I, and we shall spin you a tale. If you can aid us in our great quest, perhaps we can help you."
"Well, I should first like to know what it is that you need my help with."
She grins, and it's one of those smiles like the Babadook that just kind of stretches. You see just a like line that of razor sharp teeth. She says,
"Pray tell, brother of the sugar, how do you feel about theft? Our sister queen lives in the realm of the children. We would ever so like to piss her off. If you could help us rob the kingdom of Titania, we will grant our sugary boons unto you. Pray tell, how would you feel about the ability to summon a hardened candy shell?"
"Interesting. That would be useful. What is it that you need me to do exactly?"
"We require the golden pipes of Titania. Steal them for us. You don't even need to bring them back. We don't actually want them. We have very little use for pipes up here in the North Pole. But if you could take them from her, it would truly reduce her quality of joy."
"Well, as you must know, this is Christmas Eve, and as a toy, I do have somewhere to be. But if my journey tonight brings me into contact with the golden pipes of Titania, I will endeavor to do what I can to..."
And like faster than you can conceive of it, suddenly she's like grasping part of the bag like it was your collar and pulling you close and like pressing her face against the bag, which from your side is like extra spooky. Her eyes have gone jet black. Her long forked tongue is like flickering against the edge of the bag. And she says, "But that is the beautiful part, friend of the sugar. Titania and her court live in the small fairy garden outside of your child's abode. All you needs do is sneak away from your tree this very evening before your child finds you and consumes you. Take the pipes, discard them, make Titania suffer, and we shall help you become the chosen toy."
"If I do find myself under the child's tree this evening, it will be after a great ordeal. Might you give me my candy shell coating now to ensure a safe trip? And when I arrive, I will then go to find these pipes for you?"
"Darling, we are the Fae. We make delightful deals that usually fuck over the person who takes them later. We will not grant you this power yet, but I can grant you one brief boon. The first time you are to take an injury, we will provide you a temporary shell. You shall get the full shell when you have stolen the pipes."
"Well, I don't think it's going to work out for us. You did just now disclose that strange and ironic punishments await me should I accept your
your deal.
I'm sorry. I should be clear. When we make deals with like mortals and those types, this is on the level. I just can't give it to you right now.
Oh, well, then yes,
against
of course.
Our fairy
yes,
deal.
Yes, of course, of course.
And she goes, for instance, and then she stabs you in the chest.
Well, then I'm back to a no. It's going to be a no from me.
We already cut away, Tyler. We'll see what happens in a moment. Morky, you have sent Minky to do your bidding. Go ahead and roll for Minky. What do you have a feature you think would help defeat a keyblade wielding official licensed mouse?
Well, I think that he's got his eyes closed is good. I feel like Morky is more of a survivor than a killer. He's trusting on Minky to do this.
Go ahead.
I'd say his ability is that he can sacrifice a minion for the greater good, which means if this goes bad, he thinks he can get away scot-free. That's his plan. Otherwise, no, I don't think there's anything other than he was doing a lot of snuggling around, so he could probably get the box really close to let Minky out as close as possible.
Okay, go ahead and roll for this. I'm going to say this is a ruin check, understanding that the ruin will hit Minky, not you.
Okay, great.
But I think it's just that dice. I think this has got to be a pure bad roll, you know?
All righty. Oh, that's a one. I'm going to miss you, Minky.
You just hear, oh boy. And then you hear a thump and another thump and then a succession of thumps. And as you open your eyes, you look down and staring up at you with slightly off-center painted eyes is the severed head of Minky. And you just hear a voice say, well, glad she worked alone. Back to my box. Simple and clean is the way that you're making me feel tonight. It's hard to let it go.
These are Kingdom Hearts references, Ryan.
You see the box close and your beloved's head staring up at you. What do you say?
Your head.
Yeah.
Your own head.
Yeah.
His beloved is him.
And all he says looking at the head is go,
well, I think taking out the other mouse is a job for someone else. Let's go find our allies.
And he'll go back hoping the alliance can help him.
And with that, Morky Mouse goes in search of more capable friends, both of whom are in some shit.
Our Pick Me Trophy Dark Incursion adventure features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, and our very special guests, Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers, at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR, on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.